Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules, the podcast that equips you to lose who you're not, love who you are, and live your one life well.
Okay, Sherry, we are in the thick of it now. Have you avoided any crazy yet?
The problem is right now there is so much crazy happening. It's like everywhere I turn. So I'm working hard to make sure that it's not overly contagious and that I have, what are those things called, boundaries that we're trying to learn about?
Yeah, boundaries. I love that. Well, one of our listeners said, I tried so hard to make this person happy when I couldn't, and it wasn't my job anyway, which left me not paying attention to my own needs. So I got really sick. Plus, I kind of had to turn off God's voice in my own life to pour all my energy into trying to make them happy.
Ooh.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that can disturb your peace this time of year.
Well, and I love this listener's honesty in recognizing that she had to kind of turn off God's voice in order to pour the energy into that people-pleasing urge. So,
yeah, there were physical implications for that choice and spiritual implications. And boy, I've experienced both.
There's one of the Christmas carols that we sing, and I think it really goes up really squeaky high, and I can never hit the notes well, but sleep in heavenly peace. And every time I hear that, I think, I want me some heavenly peace. I love the concept of peace, but I feel like I'm not real familiar with peace. So what keeps you from experiencing heavenly peace this time of year, especially?
Well, I think it's words in general. And I'd start with talking about other people's words. It's so funny because I was thinking through this and I thought, you know, people, there are things that people will say this time of year that will set me off that any other time of year would have rolled off.
Oh.
And, you know, but it's like, I guess, I don't know. This is high expectations and everybody's a little bit tired and a little bit frazzled, and it can really, people's words can get to me. And I just want to go, filters, people. Filters.
That is so good that they set you off, but any other time of year, it would just roll off. That's a great way of thinking about it.
Well, it seems particularly too, but then as I even was thinking about this, you know, wanting to urge people to use their filters,
that's right.
I was like, maybe I should until my own filters are in place. So filters, Amy, filters. And, you know, I've been praying this one psalm continuously. It's Psalm 141:3 that says, set a guard over my mouth. Lord, keep a watch over the door of my lips. And I love the visual of Jesus like slamming the door on my words sometimes. I need some divine intervention in this area. How about you, Sherry?
Oh, my word. Well, you know, this year especially, I do have a lot of things going on. I've got a family member who's injured, and I've got another family member who's in the process of dying. And a whole handful of people are just behaving badly. And so I just keep wishing other people would keep calm, but no, they end up losing their minds. And one of our, well, interns, but now friends, Kendra Burrow, she calls it contact crazy. And I think that is just the best description. It just feels like being in their presence. It sticks to me. And so it's really easy for me to blame others for my inability to have that heavenly peace.
Oh, I feel you. Well, that leads to our next question really well. What situations make you overreact, especially during the holidays? And I love that our intern put make in quotation marks.
Yes, yes. No, it's very clear that nobody makes us feel or do anything. But yeah, you know, so I've got all these things happening. And then as of the time we're recording now, a week ago, Rafiki, who was my daughter's cat, but he's also devoted to Daniel, and I'm very attached to him. He was diagnosed with diabetes. And so I had a plane ticket to go visit relatives in Southern California. And then the vet calls and makes me feel like, oh, no, during the conversation with the vet, I felt like a horrible pet owner because I wasn't dealing with Rafiki right away. So I changed the plane ticket and I go in. I literally, Amy, I end up bursting into tears in the vet office because I just can't handle all this information because I have to do this and this and buy this, but don't do this and don't do this. And if you don't do this, then he can become blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm not losing another beloved pet right around Christmas if I can help it. And so what ends up happening for me right now is all the emotions have just like, it's like everybody poured all of these different separate events into a blender and hit puree. And it's all mixed together. And then there's also the cynical part of me that's like, really? Seriously? This couldn't have all like happened in October or waited for like mid-January. Exactly. It has to be happening around Christmas. So yeah, too much all at once. But then again, that's just kind of a description of the holidays. I mean, it is an extra intense time of year. So how about you? What causes you, what makes you overreact, especially during the holidays?
The way you're processing that really matches the way I'm processing it, because I got to thinking that there are several holidays I think that we put an inordinate amount of weight on. One example is Valentine's Day, fake holiday. I think funded by Hallmark. But anyway,
Valentine's Day is like a giant love test. Everyone is destined to fail. Just saying.
Exactly. If there's any holiday, though, that exceeds this, it is Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I really can put an inordinate amount of weight on Christmas. Like I joke about Valentine's being a fake holiday, but I really don't pay much attention to it. But Christmas is weighty in my book. And so I can get distracted very easily by evaluating other people's feelings for me based on, or what I think their feelings are for me, based on their responses to invitations, their dedication to time with me, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's just one day. And, you know, recently I was thinking through, I'm starting to have to share my children during the holidays.
Yeah.
Yes. I was thinking through my wise friend, Susie Eller, our wise friend. She shared with me her philosophy about her extended family during the holidays, which is whatever day we're together, that's the day.
So smart.
She's not going to make it about one, like December 25th. If you're not with me on that day, you clearly don't love me. Ugh. No. Whatever day everybody's together, that's the day. What a freeing, wonderful thing, a way to keep me from overreacting during the holidays.
Well, so like if you evaluate other people's feelings towards you on all this, do you like evaluate people's dedication to your friendship based on the gifts they do or don't give you? I'm just checking to make sure if I should like send my gift by Federal Express or wrap it really well or, you know, send three small ones or.
Well, I don't think there's anybody alive that doesn't like a gift, but gifts are like my love language. So you're in luck.
Oh, good.
And yours is in process, by the way, and maybe late also.
Hey, I wasn't fishing, but that is good to hear. Let's just say. All right. Well, this time of year, what do you wish you could control, even though you know you can't? We got to talk about the C word. We just have to.
We do. It always comes up. Well, I'm learning to perfect the pause instead of reacting to changes and unmet expectations immediately. Because when I respond immediately, I get out of control really, really fast. So a pause is really the only way that I'm learning that I'm really learning that that's the best way for me to control my emotions and to keep myself out of this high emotional reaction mode. So, and I'm working to really, it was funny because initially I thought I'm working to let my best self catch up. And I was like, well, that's going to fail every time. Like my best self sort of rarely shows up. If I'm waiting for her, we're in big trouble. So I thought, no, I need to pause to wait to let the Holy Spirit catch up. And it's not that the Holy Spirit is not always present, but you and I, we brain science geeks, we know there's some brain science behind. We have these visceral reactions based on these quick firings to our brains that happen way before we can ever determine our own response. And so the pause is needed to counteract that wacko brain thing that's going on, and then to let the Holy Spirit help us to walk in the Spirit, whereas our brain, those reactions are going to put us in that fleshly mode every time.
So good. And I could not love more that you managed to bring brain science into Christmas. Like, that right there is my Christmas gift from you, Amy Carroll. That was...
I'm such a geek.
I feel like we could just end right now. That was too good to be true.
Well, I think brain science applies to everything. How about you, Sherry Gregory?
Uh-oh. One up me right there. Well, when it comes to control, I tried to think, well, what would I like to control the most? And I realized everything, just like everything. You know, at Christmas especially, you know, I feel so terrible saying it, because of all the times a year, this should be when I can just relax and trust and surrender. And I just find everything tightening and gripping. But it's especially its people. While I was down in Southern California, I had a conversation I'm really grateful for. It was one of those candid conversations you've literally taught me about. And the person listened to me and I felt heard, and it was really hard. And I felt like an overboiled spaghetti noodle afterwards, but I was so glad for it. And I really felt like what a good thing it was that we were being open and honest with each other. And then I got an email from them and they kind of summarized what they had heard, and it bore almost no resemblance whatsoever to what I'd said. And I'm like,
I knew there was a butt coming. Yeah. I could feel it.
It's Christmas. There's always big butts around Christmas.
Oh, boy.
And part of me was like, okay, I need to be glad that they felt that they could share with me. And, you know, it's their perspective. I can't contradict it. But part of me was like, seriously, I have to go through all this again. Like, okay. And so, you know, part of it is I wish relationships didn't take so much work. And especially at Christmas, we get all the picture postcards that look so beautiful, and we assume that it's that way year round. And, you know, leaning into the messy, leaning into the fact that all relationships are between imperfect people who are doing the best they can, and extending lots and lots of grace, starting in my case with extending grace to other people, especially when I just want to whip them into shape.
Well, I hear lots of grit and grace in that response, though, Sherry. That's a huge aha growth thing, that we're all doing the best we can and we're all human. So what helps you detach from other people's choices and make better personal choices in those kinds of moments?
I've developed something I call the HSP pivot, but it could be just as easily called the perfectionist pivot or the people pleaser pivot. And it had three steps, but I'm going to add a fourth, because I think the first step is pause. I love how you said you're perfecting the pause. So we're going to change this right now. And we're going to start with the pause. Then the second step is to recognize my protest. And my protest sounds in my head like, well, I have to do this, or they have to do this, or we have to do this. Or it can sound like can't, like I can't, they can't, we can't, she can't, kind of stuff. So it's either a have to or a can't. So that's the internal protest I'm feeling. So once I've identified the protest, then I have to reword it as a preference. This is an internal re-scripting of my thoughts. So instead of, well, I have to do such and such in order for it to be Christmas, I would prefer to do such and such, and it will feel more like Christmas. Or they have to do this sort of thing, or they can't do the, well, I would prefer if they did, or I would prefer if they didn't. But what this step does is it shifts it from external to internal locus of control.
Wow.
And recognizing that, yes, this outside thing is, and it could even be a situation where there's some pain attached. Now, let me do the caveat. This is not involving abuse or any addiction or anything like that. This is just in a normal relationship between imperfect people. So pause, recognizing my protest, rephrasing it as preference, and then this is the hardest step, restating it as my problem. I have a problem with. So let's say that we made plans, everybody's coming to the house for Christmas, and then somebody cancels. Or somebody says, hey, let's not have it at the Gregory house, even though I've gotten everything ready. We're going to have it someplace else. The protest is they can't do that to me. I've prepared. I bought all the food. I spent so much time cleaning the house. Well, my preference would be I would prefer to have it at my house now that I'm ready and I put forth all the effort. The problem in this case would be I have a problem when people change plans on me suddenly. I have a problem with flexibility. Now, the reason I say that's no fun is because suddenly it's now phrased in a way that I have 100% responsibility from here on out. Like, it is so much more fun to think about all the ways I could change other people and all the injustices that are happening to me. But the truth is, in this little illustration I've given, I really do have a problem with flexibility. I really do have a problem when people change plans on me. And the Holy Spirit has never once given me permission to change another person. But the Holy Spirit is always asking for permission to work on my heart. And so the conclusion I've come to recently is, you know how we say, well, you can't change other people, you can always change yourself. I've come to the conclusion I can't even change myself. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in me that makes that heart transformation. When I go through this pivot from pause to protest to preference to problem, I recognize what the root issue is, and then I'm able to surrender that and receive conviction from the Holy Spirit and then be much more open to the transforming work that he wants to do. So that is something that is helping me when I remember to do it. And that pause is going to be so important for making this work.
Oh, I'm excited to have contributed. I love that process, but I got to tell you, Sherry, I was like, I was arguing with you in my head all the way through, especially when we got to the problem part. I'm like, yeah, but it's just rude to change places.
I know. I'm with you. Who said I like this? It's terrible. I'll just edit it out. That's what I'll do. We won't even leave it in the episode. I don't want to get the hate mail from people.
Oh, good. But then when you got to the end, I was like, oh, yeah. She's right. Oh, it's so hard, but good.
You know, I literally carry a card in my purse that has my preference statements and my problem statements. And I literally pulled them out. Like, I had them with me over Thanksgiving when I could start feeling myself wanting to control other people, just as a reminder that this is the stuff God and I are working on. Now, it doesn't neglect, it doesn't mean I can't say something. It doesn't mean, you know, like I can't be candid. It's not a substitute for saying, wow, I'm really hurt, or wow, this is really disappointing. It's not a substitute for clear communication. Let's be really clear. But in terms of where I'm going to put my mental and emotional energy, once I have said my piece to the people who changed the plans, there's no point funneling a bunch of angst at them. The only work that I can do at that point is accepting partnership with the Holy Spirit and saying, please change me, because heaven only knows I can't change other people.
Well, this is the picture of the scripture I'm about to read, which is the love passage. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And love is what covers the bad rule, which is internal peace rests on external circumstances.
Whew. That is a lousy rule if there ever was one.
And yet.
Yeah, no kidding.
The struggle is real. But the truth to focus on instead is internal peace is a gift from God. And I just have to remind myself, and I can now remind myself with your steps, that that gift is freely accessible when we choose his way, which is always love.
So true. So true. Well, this episode was developed by our intern, Lori Young. And here's how she shares the connection between these concepts and our overarching theme of his grace is enough.
Knowing God's love never fails helps me to know that if I lead with the intention of demonstrating God's love, his grace is enough to remind me that I am loved by the creator of the universe. Even if I fail and choose my feelings, emotions, reactions, behaviors poorly, God's love never fails. If I'm made perfect in God's love, I realize that I'm released from responsibility and control for others' actions, and that I get to love others perfectly, even in their weaknesses, because God loves me perfectly in my weaknesses. So beautiful.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules.
Make sure to join us next week when we'll be discussing how to dial down the crazy on the big day.
For today, grow your grit, embrace God's grace, and when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and
break it.
The perfectionist pivot, the perfectionism, no.